During the next several weeks in the season of Lent, we are going to be in the Gospel of John, examining stories of people who encountered Jesus. This week, we meet Nicodemus. Next week, the Samaritan woman at the well. And then the man who was born blind. And after that, Lazarus. And each of these encounters reveals something about who Jesus is and something about who we are in relationship to him. To set the scene of where we are today, we turn back to chapter 2, where Jesus attends a wedding in Cana of Galilee. When the wine runs out, he instructs the servants to fill the jars used of water for ceremonial washings. And that water becomes fine wine. And it's a sign. What is old is being replaced by something new, something better. The old ways of cleansing are giving way to something that brings life where there might have been emptiness, life to what had run dry. Well, from there, Jesus goes to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, and he enters the temple, and he sees people selling animals and exchanging money, and in a dramatic moment, he overturns the tables, pours out the coins, drives out the animals, and declares, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Well, after that, Jesus remains in Jerusalem, teaching and performing signs, and people begin to take notice. And that is where our story for today begins. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews, comes to Jesus at night, not to challenge him, but to affirm him. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." It's a respectful approach. It's measured. It's careful. But Jesus does not receive the compliment. Instead, he responds with something that almost seems completely unrelated. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. John chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, "Listen for God's word to you. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you did not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. Nicodemus comes to Jesus with respect, with admiration, maybe even with a quiet endorsement. Rabbi, we know that you are from God. And how does Jesus respond? Not really with gratitude, but with a disruption. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. That's not a conversation. It's a collision. Because Nicodemus didn't come looking for new life. He came assuming he already had one. And that may be where this story meets us. The life we build on our own is not the same as the life that God longs to grow within us. God is always leading us into a deeper, fuller life than we could ever reach on our own. Imagine being Nicodemus. You've seen the signs, you've heard the teaching, you've watched Jesus cleanse the temple. You come with respect, perhaps even a bit of cautious curiosity. And instead of affirmation, you're challenged. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And by no one, he means you. You, a faithful leader, a respected teacher, a careful observer of God's law, a person who has given his life to the things of God. If you were Nicodemus, you would be stunned. And you'd begin to ask questions. What do you mean? We are God's covenant people. We're the ones who are trying to live faithfully. Are you saying, Jesus, that even if we follow the law, we might still be on the outside looking in? Notice something important in verse 3. The word Jesus uses for being born from above is the word anothen in Greek. And it can mean to be born again, or it can mean to be born from above. And the truth is that Jesus intends both meanings at the same time. He's saying new birth is necessary, and it can only come from God. It's not something that we initiate. It's not something that we accomplish. It's something that God does. For years, many Christians have understood born again to mean a decision that we make. And those decisions do matter. But we as Presbyterians have long insisted that those decisions are responses. They're responses to the work that God is already doing within us. The Spirit is already at work in a person's life before they even recognize it, before they even name it. And that's why born from above matters, because it reminds us that new life begins with God and not us. And this matters more than we might first realize, because Jesus is not offering Nicodemus a way to improve his life. He's telling him that something entirely new will happen. You don't improve your way into God's kingdom, you're born into it. It's not about becoming a better version of yourself, it's about receiving a life that you could never generate on your own. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do. It means that what we do flows from what God has already done. We don't create this new life, but we are called to live into it. We do not earn it, but we're invited to participate in it. The Spirit gives life and then invites us to walk in that life. Nicodemus, however, doesn't quite get it, or perhaps doesn't want to. And so he asks the literal question, how can anybody be born after having grown old? It sounds almost absurd, but it reveals something important. He is trying to understand this whole thing in categories that he cannot control. And if we are honest, we do the same thing. Because by every visible measure, Nicodemus is already doing it right. And that is what makes this so unsettling. Before we leave him in the story, we should be honest. Nicodemus is not just a character in the text. Nicodemus is us, faithful, responsible, trying to live the right way, doing our best to follow God, to be engaged, to be committed, and quietly assuming that this must surely be enough. The life we build on our own, though, is not the same as the life that God longs to grow within us. Again, God is always leading us into a deeper, fuller life than we could ever reach on our own. And this is where the tension really sits for us. Because we tend to live at one extreme or the other. Either we believe everything depends on us, our effort, our discipline, our faithfulness, or we swing to the other side and assume that if God does everything, then we don't have to do anything at all. But Jesus isn't offering one of those two things. Instead, he tells Nicodemus and us that new life begins with God and then calls us to respond to that life with our whole selves. Jesus presses further. He says, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Nicodemus should recognize those words. It echoes the promises from the prophet Ezekiel, where God says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. Through the prophet, God promises not just to forgive, but to transform, to replace a heart of stone with a heart of flesh. This is God's work. God restores, God renews, God gives new life. Well, then Jesus says something even more unsettling. The wind blows where it chooses. In other words, the Spirit moves freely. You cannot manage God. God cannot be controlled. God is not directed by you. God acts. God seeks. God gives life. And we experience the effects. And sometimes that can be unsettling. Because it means there is a limit to what we can produce spiritually on our own. No matter how disciplined, no matter how moral, no matter how sincere we are, there is a kind of life that we cannot create on our own. A new heart cannot be self-generated. A living spirit cannot be self-created. It has to be given. And that is both humbling, but it's also incredibly free. Because the kingdom of God is not something that we achieve, it's something that we receive. And once it is received, it is also something that we are called to live into. And so we don't improve our way into God's kingdom. We're born into it, but once we're born into it, we then begin to grow in it. We begin to walk in it. We begin to align our life with the life that God is already creating within us and in our world. And this is where that good Presbyterian theological word, sanctification, comes in. Sanctification means to become holy. Not as something that we accomplish on our own, but as something that we participate in with God. The Spirit gives new life and then invites us to cooperate with that life, to follow, to trust, to yield, to act in ways that reflect what God is doing already within us. And we can trust this. The God who begins this work will never abandon it. The God who gives new life is also the God who will sustain it and strengthen it and carry it forward. And so we're not left on our own to figure it out. We cannot transform ourselves, but we're also not passive. We're participants in the work that God has begun and God is continuing to do, and who promises to bring it to completion. In this reading, Jesus says something very, very important. For God so loved the world. And in Greek, that word is cosmos, which means all of it. Not just the faithful, not just the insiders, but even the world that resists God. God loves that world. God moves towards that world. God gives life to that world. Which means this new life Jesus is talking about is not reserved for the qualified. It's given freely, graciously, abundantly. Why did God send the Son into the world? Jesus says not to condemn it, but to save it. Think of the implications of that. This must have been quite a night for Nicodemus. He came in the dark, certain of who he was, certain of where he stood with God, and then he probably left a little unsettled. Not rejected, not condemned, but invited. Invited into something deeper. Something that he couldn't control. Something only God could do. And something began there that night. Because later, Nicodemus speaks up for Jesus. And later still, when others disappear, Nicodemus shows up with spices and devotion and care, bringing what he can to honor the one who changed him. It wasn't changed all at once. It wasn't a single dramatic moment. But I'm sure it was slow, quiet, like the wind. Spirit moved, and something in him began to change. A new heart, a new life. It wasn't something that he achieved, not something that he earned, but something that he was given. But it was something that was alive in him. So hear this good news. God is not waiting for you to become someone else before loving you. God is already at work within you, breathing, stirring, calling, bringing new life where you couldn't create it yourself. And the God who has begun that work in you is not finished. He is faithful, continues to work. He desires to work with you to carry it forward, even when you can't see it clearly, even when you struggle, even when you feel uncertain. But that new life is not meant to remain hidden. It's meant to be nurtured. God gives the life and then invites us to grow into it, trusting that God will bring it to completion. We don't have to remake our lives, but we are invited to participate in the life that God is already giving us. The wind still blows, the Spirit still moves. And even now, God continues to bring life from above and invites us to live it, to nurture it, to grow in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.